Hey there, birth nerd. You're listening to the Birth Worker Podcast. My name is Kylie Banks, and I am totally obsessed with birth and equally obsessed with business. And this is the show where I help women turn their passion for birth into a sustainable, profitable, and most importantly, impactful career. All right, let's get into it. Welcome back to episode 99 of the Birth Worker Podcast. Today, I have one of my very own students on the podcast. Her name is Shoshana Steiner. And not only is she a doula and childbirth educator and podcaster, and she even has a course of her own, but she's also given birth to 10 of her own babies, and she's even a grandmother. So she has so much experience, especially on this topic today, which is navigating birth team dynamics. So excited for you guys to see what Shoshana has to share. Again, she has so much personal experience, way more on this topic than I do. And specifically, we're going to be talking about how do doulas navigate supporting their client, but also when the client's mother is there and the mother-in-law is there and the midwives and there's all these other people there, what can a doula actually do to help create a really supportive birth team and navigate all of those different dynamics and different situations. You can follow Shoshana on Instagram at Shoshana Steiner. I'll put that in the show notes. You can also listen to her podcast. It is called the Embracing Birth Podcast. You'll find that in the show notes too. But definitely check out her website. Check out the course that she's created. She is absolutely amazing. I am so beyond proud to call her one of my amazing students. And I'm excited to see what you guys think about this episode. All right. Without any further ado, let's get into it.
So I'm Shoshana Steiner, and I have been, I've been a mom for 24 years now. I have two grandchildren, and I have 10 children, 5 boys and 5 girls, not in that order. But I was always drawn to birth work. Even as a teenager, I was such a birth nerd from the get-go. I would read birth books. You know, my friends would ask me like, what are you reading? I'm like, a midwifery book. Do you want to see? And they're like, no, we don't want to see that. But I was always drawn to birth. So fast forward several children in, and I got the opportunity to become a doula. There was a local training in one of the local hospitals here in Baltimore, and I fell in love with it, but it wasn't enough. So I kept seeking more courses, more training. So I've been an active doula for over 13 years now. And then I became a childbirth educator. It was very natural for me to become a childbirth educator once I was a doula, because by profession, I'm a classroom teacher. I taught fourth grade for many, many years. So my husband's like, you have to teach this stuff. So I took a course in that, and I specialize in hypnobirthing, but I do general childbirth education as well. And fast forward some more time into COVID time, I felt like more people needed more instruction. And it was something that I got to listen to, because people kept coming up to me and saying, can you help me help my daughter? Can you help me help my sister? I don't want to take a doula course, but she wants me to be at her birth because we're really close. And, you know, what do I do to support that? And slowly but surely, like over time, I saw that there's a real big need. And especially like more stories that I heard as time went on, that, you know, people that would hire me as a doula say, you know, we decided to go with a doula because my mom was there and she was great, but she drove me crazy. And I was like, what a lost thing, because like, you know, taking it back years and years ago, that village that women had, it wasn't someone that they hired professionally per se that they didn't know. It was always family members, friends, close-knit community that joined them at their births. And that's something that's kind of been lost. Of course, I promote doula work. That's what I do. But at the same time, like to give the opportunity to different people to be a part of the birth and to learn those skills, how to be supportive and not be like a hindrance. Because like, even if they've given birth themselves, I remember like, you know, so many years ago, back to my first birth as a doula, I was already a mom to 7 kids. And I remember feeling like, this is strange. I've never been on this side of the birth, like where I'm watching the birth. I was always the active one birthing. So even then I had to make that mind shift, even being an experienced mom. And just as time went on, I saw it was such a big need. So once it was asked and I was starting to teach people one-on-one, I was like, there's such a big need out there. I've got to give this to them. And I think like after COVID, it really blossomed, because more and more people were having the ability to have less support in hospitals while hospitals were kind of shut down, even to doulas or even to husbands. So people just wanted to know, how do I help myself through this process? So that kind of just, it grew into this, basically, in a nutshell.
I love it. And my favorite thing about choosing to interview you for the podcast, there are so many topics that we could dive into. So it's funny that we picked this one specifically because there are honestly dozens that we could have gone into. But I'm glad we're talking about this. And something that I think of when I think of even my own birth experience is that it had been 30 years since my mom gave birth. And honestly, her births were so entirely different than the birth I envisioned for myself. So both of her births were planned inductions, and they went quote unquote totally fine. You know, nothing abnormal happened. But still, a planned induction was very different than a spontaneous home birth with like no interventions, you know, as few interventions that can happen at a home birth. And so I think something that comes up, and I'd love to hear your thought on this, is that there are a lot of really well-meaning sisters and mothers and loving family members. But just because you love your daughter, love your sister, doesn't inherently mean that you're prepared to support her as she gives birth. So I would love to see, just kind of hear your thought on what are some things that come up that maybe make it harder for those that are closer to us to support us through the birth? I imagine fear is a really big one.
Yes. I mean, I love that you brought that up because, like you said, that there's that closeness, that connection of whatever relationship they have previously. You know, as we come in like professionals, we're meeting them where they are now. Whereas if like a family member, a sister, a friend has been with them along their life journey, and they're also bringing their experiences with this person into the birth. Like as birth workers, we know like separate, you know, the be there for them, but don't bring in your own stuff to the birth room. But as a mother of someone in labor or a sister or a friend, you are going to be bringing that part of your relationship in with them. So yeah, I found that was even a more challenging role. Like moms especially had to be like, okay, I'm her mother, but in what capacity does she want me here? She wants me to support her physically. Am I supposed to be her mom and like kind of doting on her, making sure she's okay? What if I, you know, they have to process their own feelings. Like, she seems like she's really uncomfortable. Doctor, come give her anesthesia, put her out of her misery. They're thinking of themselves, not like, sweetie, how would you like me to support you through this? You've got all it takes. What do you want from me as your mom? And that's part of what I address in the course of how to even approach the subject. If they've asked you, hey mom, you're coming to my birth, right? I'm expecting you there. How they can accept it with making those clear like understandings, because it's not just them, but it's their partner, whether, you know, a spouse, a partner, whoever's there with them, to understand their role within what they're being brought into while putting themselves aside. It's a whole new reality. Like they're not just coming as a mom, they're coming as someone who's supporting them through a birth. And what does that look like as a mom? And also just having some of that knowledge. So yeah, it's huge.
And something that must be so interesting, and I know that you cover this in your course, is that there's no like one size fits all approach. It's not like, here's the checklist on how to support someone, because it just doesn't work that way. It's very individual. So how do you go about teaching a mom to support her daughter when we don't know what the daughter wants?
Right. That's a great question. So I kind of made like a basic outline of a checklist of things to do, but those things do go into spiral into individual things. Like even for example, like checking in with ourselves as a birth worker, we'll do this too, but as a human being, wow, this is a long birth. I got to take care of I got to use the bathroom for a minute. I want to call home and check that my family is okay. Let me just check in and see how they're doing. Doing that, like with permission with the birth family. That's for example, something that a mother or a sister or a friend might not think about to address ahead of time. So I do give like a basic outline of a very basic checklist of here are some things you might want to cover. Here's some examples of how you can ask the questions and make it into a conversation. So you're walking into it understood. You know, there's like this idea that, you know, if you get into business with friends or business with family, set those rules clearly ahead of time because it's family members. Like when you're joining in a business venture with someone else and you're both coming in as business workers, there's a certain understanding. But when you're coming in as a family member, you've got to put the family part with the business and how do you mesh that together? So there is a lot of like the basic checklist, but also guiding questions of here's some ideas of what you can ask. What are some ideas? I try to get them to think for themselves, what might be something in your relationship that might come up as an issue in the birth while you're supporting, not as a negative thing, like something bad in the relationship, but let's say if a mom was a lot more, maybe she's more holistic. But maybe her daughter is saying, no, I want an epidural. Is the mom going to now get into an argument with her daughter of the benefits of a holistic type of birth? And she's there to support. It's kind of like wearing a new hat for family members and, you know, friends attending a birth. They've got to get a more clear understanding of what the family wants from them, but also addressing what they feel about it. So we do go into that a lot as well, just to, because it is, it's like you said, it's very individual, but there's some like basic things to think about that they just wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious if you've had conversations with the women who are giving birth, as you built this course or just, you know, dove into this, did you have conversations to hear, like, what's the difference between a great support, you know, mother or a great support sister rather than one who like really didn't support very well? Did you get to speak with women and hear both sides of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So it wasn't like an interview per se, but when I attended births where the mom was there too, or even, you know what I especially noticed, which I happen to love, the dads, especially the young dads. I'll have a lot of the young fathers come to me and say, I know this is a weird question, but can you kind of help me? Because I know my wife wants her mother there, but that's my mother-in-law. And I just don't know where to put myself. And I was like, wow, but this is his birth experience. You know, he's becoming a parent at that time. And he needs that guidance of like, how do I approach the subject and so forth. So yeah, as far as like the moms also, a big piece was a lot of the moms really want their mothers to have a basic understanding of what type of birth they want, and to learn how to be supportive. They want that mothering part of their mother, whatever relationship they have, but they also want to set that clear boundary. Like, yeah, I'm your daughter in labor right now, but I'm also the mom of this baby. And I want you to respect that. But they want that to be done in a nice way. They want to be inclusive of the moms. And one dad, a specific story pops into mind. This, you know, it was with their second birth. And he said, I know my wife really wants her mom there. He's like, I'm just going to say this openly, honey. Okay. She's like, yeah, we're here with the doula. Let's discuss this. And he said, I just don't want her there because she made my wife so nervous the first time around. And it was from something completely trivial. I'm like, okay, so tell me what it was. Maybe he thought it was trivial, but what was it? He said that she was looking at the printout of the monitor. And she's like, oh my gosh, the baby's heart rate's going up. It's going up. It keeps going up. We should probably call the nurse. And she was getting all nervous, not understanding what's going on. It turned out she was reading the page number at the bottom of the monitor and it was not the baby's heart rate. The baby's heart rate was fine, but the mom didn't have a basic knowledge of like, oh, the nurses can see everything and everything's okay. It was a long induction and so forth, but she was setting a tone of panic for his wife. And he's like, we can't have that. Clearly your mom is loving in many ways, but she was bringing a sense of fear and panic into the birth room. I don't want that for my wife. He was an observer. And he was watching this happen and he was like, okay, not for number two. Let's figure this out. So that was just like a story that pops into mind that I've seen over and over again. It comes out in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. As a doula, I remember it was a very awkward situation, but I actually declined a client for a second time birth based on the way that her mother acted during her birth experience. Wow. I had to set a boundary around it. It's just not being a healthy environment for me to be in. Which now that I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, I need to process if that was the right or wrong decision, but you're right. You know, sometimes the mothers or the sisters or the other people we invite into a birth room can obviously really, really impact the birth for better or for worse.
Right.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is that you're taking the pressure off the moms because, you know, I put myself back to when I was pregnant. I didn't want to have to educate people. I didn't want to have to educate people on what they need to know, what they shouldn't know, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. I wanted my job to be easy. Like I wanted to grow a baby and I just wanted everyone to support me. So what you're helping do is putting that ownership back on the mother-in-law or the mother of the person giving birth or the sister or whoever saying, here's how you can support your daughter. Here's how you can support your family member who's giving birth. So that way the mother can go to the person giving birth and say, what would you like? How would you like me to support you? Because I just put myself back in those shoes. And it's like, I wish, you know, my mom did a fantastic job, but I wish that all moms across the world, all people giving birth across the world can experience a birth where they don't have to be the one who educates their team. They can be the one who sits there and has the team come to them and say, you know, Kylie, how would you like to be supported? Rather than exactly. Me like having to create this big checklist on if this happens, do this, if this happens, do this.
Right.
It shouldn't be on the person who's giving birth. And that's what you've created is you've made them they're still in the equation, but they're not the one that has to take ownership over teaching, you know, their mother how to support them.
Yeah. And I think it's phenomenal because it goes even more as we see time going on and on. I see more things to add in just based on people's experience. So one of the things I did notice also was, you know, just processing the birth. Like as a group of doulas, we can have, oh, hey, you know, without giving too much information away, I kind of have to process the birth. And I know you've spoken about this before too. If we've been through a birth that was challenging for us as a doula, I need to process that with another birth worker to kind of help me prepare for my next birth and to kind of just to get my head on straight again and say, you know, this was challenging when a doctor did this, but this was helpful when this nurse suggested that. And then the mom felt empowered when this happened. So I process it so that I can move on. But a big question came up or move on or rather take from it into, you know, a positive experience. But when it's a family member, you know, she or he is in contact with the family consistently, even after the birth. So one of the points that I also address is that the person who's coming into this birth, not as an official trained birth worker, but as, you know, a support person that's close to them, what are they going to do with their feelings afterwards? What if they saw something that they thought wasn't so great in the care? Do they say it? Do they not say it? Is that overstepping? Like as a birth worker, it's more clear like, hey, I noticed this. Would you like to process that? But as a mother, as sister, friend, where does it start? Where does it end? How do they support? And also for their own emotions, do they talk about it to another family member? You know, even something basic, like let's say when the baby's born and let's say I'm the grandmother, you know, and I'm attending the birth and it's my, you know, my child's baby. And I'm telling the world, what if they want to be the ones to announce the birth, even though it's my grandchild, it's their child. So I have to even just setting that up, it's more like creating a space for proper conversation. But I also bring in the basic birth knowledge because I love what you said, like your mom was great, but she had given birth previously 30 years before and had a different experience. So, you know, bringing up to date kind of like the idea of learning about birth from a perspective of someone supporting birth, understanding how to support, what to do, just from a practical point of view, even if it's breathing, movement, you know, different things to, you know, notice what the mother's instinct is telling her, positioning the baby, just kind of a sprinkling of everything so they can come in feeling like, I got the knowledge I can support because I've been to a birth with a mom. She's like, oh, what's happening now? Oh, what does that mean? What does that? And the daughter was, you know, she thought it was fun. She's like, mom, you've given birth before. She's like, yeah, honey, to you. I haven't been in a birth room in over 25 years. So the same idea of what you were saying. So if these people can come in with more understanding of birth process, but also like encompass the whole relationship, take care of them, take care of the others, take care of the spouse, and kind of it'll make for a great transition to like hopefully a very positive experience where everything's kind of out in the open and is open for discussion.
You know, this is something you had talked about, you know, much earlier, but I never thought about the fact that the grandmother has known the mom her whole life and how that impacts the birth. And I'm just thinking from like my own personal experiences, for instance, you know, me being a toddler and overreacting to pain, like getting my hair brushed or something like that, could plant the seed in my mother's head that, oh, Kylie has a really low pain tolerance. Exactly. And so maybe my mom comes to the birth with that, of like that thought of like, oh, she can't even brush her hair when she was a toddler. Like, how is she going to give birth? And exactly. So that's so fascinating. It's so fascinating to me. Just the dynamics, how different they are. And it shows me how important it is to hire a doula to come in as someone who doesn't know all of you, as someone that you can almost specifically and specially like curate what you tell your doula about you. She doesn't know about things that went on if you don't want her to. And that's lovely because sometimes we go to our parents and our sisters when, you know, things happen and maybe maybe our mom knows that our partner and I almost got divorced right before we conceived. And maybe we don't want our doula to know that because maybe that's going to bring in some different energy. And maybe the mom's going to bring, the grandma's going to bring in energy of, you know, I don't want, you know, your husband here because he told you this one thing. And it's just all these different dynamics. And it's just so important to think about because you know, it's not helpful for ignorant to all these possibilities as birth workers. So right. I think every second you talk about your niche and your course and what you do, I think I just love it more and more.
Well, I'm honored. Yeah. No, it's so true what you're saying. It really is. It's really learning how to separate it. And I remember even just as a doula, I remember early on really learning how to shift my mindset. I'm here for the mom. It's so funny because couples will automatically say, do you want to hold the baby? I'm like, yeah, sure. But let me make sure you're okay first. You know, like they want me to hold the baby, you know, and I've been a doula for long enough that the baby's so cute. It's beautiful. I'm glad they're healthy, but I'm still so focused on the mom. And I think that's a bit of a dynamic shift also, that if it is a grandmother, sister, friend, any connection, they're going to also be hyper-focused on the baby. Whereas when you're there supporting the mom and the partner and whoever's there with her through the birth, you're focused on the mother's well-being. Yes, of course, you're keeping in mind that baby, but your sole focus is more of that mother, that parental unit that's there. And that's going to be also one of those pieces that, what do they do after the birth and so forth? Like, they're super excited. It's, you know, they're going to be crying along with the mom because it's their, you know, next of kin also. So yeah, that's, it's just, like you said, the relationship, the connection, the pieces, all that just comes together, and it can be a really beautiful thing. You know, there are some different cultures. Like, I know you were recently in Israel. I had a few of my kids in Israel, and now doulas are way more popular there, but several years back, it was more like automatic assumption that the mom was going to go to the birth. That, you know, the grandmother was going to come to the birth. Not everybody wanted that, but even if they did, sometimes they just didn't know how to handle saying no. It was an expected thing of society. But learning how to make that space for that to be able to be a more positive experience is only going to benefit everyone. So that's why, like, I had thought of it a little bit, but then when it kept coming back at me, like, hey, can you help me? And it also started with a mom that she wasn't even going to her daughter's birth. She was going to her niece's birth. And it was during COVID because her sister-in-law couldn't make it to her own daughter's birth. She was in Canada. And she's like, my niece asked me to be at her birth, and I'm her aunt, and I love her like a daughter. She's my niece, but I'm coming with the idea of being a supportive birth person, not just as her friendly aunt joining her at the birth. So it can really bring in all kinds of, you know, all kinds of aspects of the relationship, but yeah, there's just so much to say and learn from it and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I have, you know, a doula training course, a Birthworker Academy, and it's so very clear to me that as doulas who attend birth, so we have to process our own triggers around our own birth experiences before we go into the birth room. But this is something that I actually personally have never walked, you know, the mother of one of my clients through is processing her own birth experiences or the sister's birth experiences. Is that something that you touch on at all in your course, processing, you know, previous biases going into your daughter's birth at all?
Yeah. So I touch on it very lightly because I have it actually a bit as a bonus that processing their own birth stories Wow. is like a piece of it that it's a way that they can prepare for their birth. Yeah. I love that you brought that up because it was almost like a side note for me, but the truth is that that's what they're bringing in. So yeah, it's learning all about that. Like there's a piece of there that is just, like you said, processing the birth story, assuming things, you know, it's funny because when you're saying this, I'm reminded of my grandmother. My grandmother, she's alive and well. We just celebrated her 100th birthday in January. Unbelievable. But I asked her, she has 6 kids. My father's the oldest. And I said, like, Grandma, you know, once I became a birth worker more, I was like, Grandma, do you remember your birth? And she's like, oh, no, honey. I was like, what do you mean? Oh, no, honey. How do you not remember your birth? Like, it's supposed to be with you for life. She said, oh, they used to knock us out with chloroform right before I had the baby. And it's fascinating because she never breastfed her kids. And, you know, my father was born in the 50s, and it's like, she was a stay-at-home mom. A lot of us struggle with, how do I keep working and breastfeed? And here she had the luxury of staying home, but she didn't breastfeed. And it's connected to me. I think it's really connected to the fact that she couldn't even physically bond with her baby right away because she was knocked out. And I'm wondering, like, she actually went to my aunt's birth, and I think she was just there like, wow, you're still awake. And the baby was already born. And for her, it was a whole new thing. We never processed it because I myself at the time was a younger child when that happened. But I remember thinking about it afterwards. Like, yeah, there's a piece that we have to process. And it's been like birth, but it's evolved in within the medical world, within the United States, you know, all around the world. People are going back to the way birth probably was supposed to be originally. So there's a lot of that is a big shift with the generation before ours. And now it's such a different experience. So yeah, they definitely need to process a lot of that for sure.
Yeah. And you had mentioned where it's like, this is how birth was for so long. And it used to be so intuitive, but to be honest, we're so removed from that intuitive part of ourselves, even as quickly as from, you know, the turn of the 20th century, we're removed from our intuition in the birth process. So in some ways you could say, oh, people intuitively know how to support their children to give birth. People intuitively know how to support their sister, their best friend to give birth. But in reality, I think It's something that used to be intuitive that we've lost touch with. And so I definitely think that people need that support and that guidance in the form of a mentor or a coach or someone to walk them through that process. And it could be as simple as something you mentioned at the beginning, which is, you know, grandma's been sitting by her daughter for the past 12 hours and hasn't gone to eat, hasn't gone to use the bathroom. She's been kneeling on the ground by the bathtub for 3 hours and her knees are starting to bleed. These little things that in theory should be intuitive, but I think we get so wrapped up in the excitement for birth and we've lost that touch with the birth process over the last several generations that it really would help to have somebody help walk us through that.
Right, right. And especially because I work well with doctors, midwives, home births, it doesn't matter. I respect everyone and I do my best to communicate well. And I bring that also into the course, like some proper ways to communicate with the caregivers. Because sometimes, it can be annoying for a labor and delivery nurse if the mom is constantly, not that her annoyance has to be a part of it, but that if the mom says, what's going on with my daughter? And they're kind of getting all worked up, the birth team might kind of feel frustrated that this mom is having her mother there harassing them the whole time. So another piece is also just communicating with the care team that their family member has chosen and supporting that with it. And also, sometimes it's the opposite where they feel like, if someone's, I keep saying mother and daughter, because I feel like that's the one of the big ones, that's there. Like other people might be more respectful of the space when it's a mother and her child giving birth, it's a different thing. But if they feel a lot that they want to be like, listen to the doctor knows best. And what if her daughter is feeling like, no, I have questions. I want to understand. I need clarity. I need to feel right with this decision. And then it becomes a conflict. And then, like you said, who wants to be educating their team when they need to be supported at that moment? And that's also like a different angle of it, that it's just that, it's a bigger piece of a large picture that's coming together for this, family going through the birth process.
I love that you cover having those conversations. I attended a birth recently where the woman was having a home birth and she wanted to transfer to the hospital. She was simply tired. She wanted to go. She wanted to get an epidural. And the mom, it was actually a free birth. So there was no midwife there. And it's hard to say mom and daughter because it's like the grandma. The grandma was the one who called kind of pressured mom into calling an ambulance just because they would get to the hospital faster, not because it was an emergency at all. But the grandma did an interesting thing where she had the conversation with the person on the other line of 911. And the grandma was almost over-exaggerating the situation because she thought maybe it would help get care faster. And I actually had to pull the grandma aside and say, hey, look, we don't want to over-exaggerate anything because then the doctor is going to take it a step further and say, this is an emergency. Let's do an emergency cesarean. Right. Let's do these things. When in reality, mom was just tired. She went on to give birth vaginally. So it's those little things, those conversations, it's good. We want to support, as moms, we want to support our daughters. And sometimes that means over-exaggerating things so they get care, but that's not necessarily the best thing when it comes to birth.
Yeah, definitely not. You're so right. Like if we, PTA, as a teacher, I hear like I'm the teacher, but I'm also the mom of students. So it's like, yeah, sometimes exactly what you said. So we might say paint a certain picture so that they can get certain care, but you're right. In the birth world, it's probably not the right time to over-exaggerate towards a negative picture. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I agree.
So the program that you've created to support the support people, tell us a little bit more about that. And when would be a good scenario for a doula listening to this to maybe send her client to learn from you?
Okay. Yeah, sure. So I set it up like with three modules and it's broken down to really bite-sized lessons. I think the longest one is maybe 16 minutes. The rest are between 9 to 15 minutes or so. Cause I want people to be able to watch it, absorb what they're taking in, write down any questions. I have printed sheets to go with each module as well. They get to download them and print them at fill them out however they like, including like an kind of like a little interview sheet that they can have with the family so that they have some guiding questions. So they see it's being taken seriously. And ideally, like for other doulas, if they find out, like when I do a doula consult, I ask who else will be attending the birth, besides me, who else is going to be there? I want them to know like it's okay for them to have other people, especially if wherever they're choosing to give birth, they allow as many people, that's their choice who they have there. But I say like, how about having a certain conversation with them? How do you feel about your mother, sister, friend being there. And so I would suggest to doulas, like, find out from the get-go if there's any other family members and kind of gently say, would you like them to join us in a follow-up meeting? Let's see if they have any questions. Maybe they have questions about where they're supposed to be. And at the same time, I've noticed that it was important for me as a doula to do that, because when a mom is there, I've had some times where moms are like, why don't you go take a break, honey? I'm here with my daughter. And I'm like, no, she hired me to be at the birth. Like, it was very sweet. The mother's taking care of me, but I don't need being taken care of right now. I'm here as the doula. I'm getting paid for my time. I'm getting paid to support. And I had to have a conversation with the mom. Like, I'm here as your doula. I don't mind at all sitting on the side if you want your mom to step in, but I want you to know that I'm taking this as my job that you hired me for. So even just for the doula to have that open conversation with the other people attending. So even within, like, almost putting aside the birthing mom, like, to put the doula and the mother together to kind of feel like, how are we working together to support her? And that was a whole new thing that I had to learn on the job, because I never anticipated that, you know, and I never anticipated being told by the mother, you sit down, I'm taking care of my daughter, because, hey, I'm on the one on the job right now. So again, it was coming from a good place, but I had to figure out how to, you know, how to juggle that.
Yeah. The dynamics can feel a little weird. Now that you say that, I've been to several births where the dynamics did feel a little bit weird, where the grandmother was almost giving off the energy of, this is my daughter, I can take care of her.
Right. Like, and back off.
It does. Yeah. Right.
Territorial.
Yeah. And, you know, I totally get it. Right. You know, I have a daughter too. I totally get that. But you're right. That's not an instance where, as the doula, you say, okay, awesome, I'll sit in the corner. No, it's like, you were hired by the person giving birth. You need to make sure, yeah, you're doing what she wants, not what the grandmother wants, even if the grandmother thinks she's got it all handled. Exactly. You know, I love that last point that you brought up of that this needs to be conversations that you have. And I just see it. I see working with you almost as a no-brainer. And when I teach my doulas inside Birthworker Academy, how to start their doula businesses, how to become doulas, how to become confident, everything, throughout the whole process, I'm reminding them to build their referral list, because mm-hmm. we can be experts in the things we love, but we're not experts in everything. We shouldn't be. We shouldn't try to be. We shouldn't want to be. Everybody has their own zone of genius. So for me in particular, I can just see the next time I go to a consult with a mom who wants to hire me, I have these questions. And if she wants her mother to be there or her sister to be there, you better believe I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I would love to recommend your mom to take a course to learn how to support you, because I, you know, that's not my zone of genius. That's not my cup of tea. I would rather work with the mom on things like mindset and fear release and pain coping strategies. So what better way to support her than to refer out the thing that actually could really help her? And to be honest, I don't know if we've had this conversation, but I think it's a no-brainer for the grandma to purchase a course to support her daughter better. I think right. All she needs is to get sent the link, and I think she's going to purchase and to watch the videos the exact same day.
Right, there you go. Have the mom say, mom, if you want to come to this birth, you got to take this course. Otherwise, you're not qualified to be my mom at the birth. Yeah.
I know. But I think back, and again, my mom did such a great job, but it was a little bit by luck now that I'm hearing all this and having this conversation with you. Yeah. So Shoshana, would you let us know where we can find you? If someone wants to hear more from you, buy the course, find you on social media, tell us where they can do all of that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So on Instagram, it's at Shoshana Steiner. So it's Shoshana Steiner. I'm sure I'll put it in the show notes also. And then my website is embracingyourbirth.com. And I wanted to give you also a special discount code for your listeners. So of course, the great name, Birthworker. So Birthworker 15. So the word Birthworker with the numbers 15, and that'll give you a 15% discount. And I'd like to add also that this course is not just an online course. Once someone takes the course, they can reach out to me through email, you know, even through phone, but mostly email and the website, to schedule a 45-minute consult as a follow-up to the course. Wow. Because questions are bound to come up. So for me, like, part of the things that I do also is, like, I got certified as a transformational life coach, but I'm using those techniques also to help. So whatever anyone who takes a course, they get a follow-up live interaction with me as a coaching call to see, because, like, I've had a mom that just took it recently that her daughter then suddenly became high risk and she wanted to get more information. So we spoke about what are some ways to support her and do some fear release with her as the mom helping her daughter. And those are things I didn't necessarily cover in the course. I wasn't going into deep birth, you know, information, but that was something we did in the follow-up consult. So that's always a bonus. Like you get a follow-up consult in person or on Zoom rather. Yeah. With all the questions that are special. Yeah.
And especially since you're a grandmother as well. So you have been through this.
Yes.
You have supported birth in many different capacities. It's very different. And back to like knowing your zone of genius, right? I have a 3-year-old. I don't have a 25-year-old. I've never supported my children to give birth or my children's partners to give birth. And so I think, Shoshana, you found the perfect little niche for you and just your ability to support the support people, whether that's a grandma or a sister or whoever that is. I think your support is almost like unmatched. So thank you for sharing all of your wisdom.
Oh, my
and
pleasure.
I'll put the link to everything in the show notes. I'll put the Birthworker 15. So even if you're listening to this months from now, go ahead and check it out and get it for yourself, even as a doula, especially if you're still having your own children. What an amazing way to learn how to have your parent support you, because it's very different. Us as doulas, we're big birth nerds. So sometimes when we teach people about birth, it's like drinking from a fire hose, right? Like how could I teach my husband about birth when there's 50 million hours of stuff that I could talk about?
Exactly.
So don't take the pressure. Yeah. Don't take the pressure, put that ownership onto somebody else, and who better than Shoshana and all the resources that she's created. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Kylie.
If you loved this episode as much as I did, definitely go ahead and check out Shoshana's website, her Instagram, her course. Use that coupon code, give that coupon code Birthworker15 to your clients, to your clients' mothers. Spread the news, because it is just so huge. It's something that I absolutely wish that I did or knew about when I was pregnant with Leela 4 years ago. Now, if you are new to my world, if you are a brand new doula who is wondering where the heck to start, or if you're an experienced doula who needs to get off that 24/7 on-call cycle because you are about to burn the hell out, I want you to check out my newest, brand new, and free masterclass. It is a 90-minute training geared towards helping you build a sustainable career in birth work without having to be on call 24/7, literally for the rest of your life. And so if you are looking for a training like that, it is completely free, and I would love to see you there. You can go to growmydoulabusiness.com. I'm going to put that link in the show notes. Sign up for the training. Super excited to see you there, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Again, just go to growmydoulabusiness.com and sign up today for free.